Thank God for that wonderful time of worship. We trust that you connected with God during that and that you'll stay connected as we study His Word today. Before I get into the Word, I just want to share a couple of things. We're believing for God to take this Word around the world. And God can do that even without the technology we have today, but especially with the technology. So we're trusting that lives are going to be touched in as many places as God will see to it that this message gets. Now, there are people in Elkhart County and Goshen that perhaps will be watching this that have never heard of us, never realized where our church is. And I want to invite you that when we're able to get back together, we'd like to invite you to come and be a part of our services. We will meet at 10 o'clock when we're allowed to meet again. We're at 116 South 3rd Street. And when you come here, you will find a group of believers that are seeking God and actually want to see their church, this church, make an impact in our community. So we invite you to come, and we'll look forward to seeing you when that day arrives. I mentioned the last time I did this service that we have, my wife and myself, have a passion to teach people not only the Word of God, but how to study the Word of God. I think that it's very important that everybody knows these things because though I am a preacher and though I like to be listened to and heard, I don't think you should ever take my word for it or anybody else's. When you hear a word, I think it's your responsibility to study the word and see what it means. See if the preacher's telling you the truth. So we understand that there are many, many tools available to people these days to help them understand the Word of God. We've got to understand this. The Bible was not written to Americans. It's written for Americans, but it was not written to us. It was not written to our type of government. It was not written to our customs and to our language. But there are tools that help us understand those things to pull the true, full meaning out of God's Word. We want to make ourselves available to you. If you would like to learn those things, we're happy to help you. All you have to do is let us know. We also want to make you aware that we have this available again. I've passed a lot of these things out. These are scriptures. I came up with this list about 2 years ago, and I've used it every day since. I do not remember a day that I've not gone over these scriptures, and I can tell you they make a wonderful impact in our lives. So, today as we get started, I want to talk to you about a subject that will require you to pay some close attention. I'm going to paint some mind pictures for you. And as we start today, I want you to take your Bibles. I'm trusting all of you have your Bibles. We need to know God's Word. And if we're going to know it, we got to look at it. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. And here's where we're going to start today. Follow along as I read. Again, that's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says this, "And in this the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now let's stop right there. We have a confidence, and I want you to understand that confidence that's being referred to here is not a human confidence. It's a confidence that is assured and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural confidence. And it goes on to say that if we ask anything according to His will, you say, well, how do we know what the will of God is? Well, there's two ways that we understand the will of God. Number one, through the Word. Number two, through the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. The Word of God will tell us all about marriage, but it won't tell you who to marry. The Holy Spirit will tell you who to marry. The Word of God will tell us all about a good work ethic, but it will not tell you which job to take, but the Holy Spirit will. So we have two methods of understanding the will of God, the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, in a little bit, we're going to talk about the difference between the voice of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit. But right now we're talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit. There are things that we know are the Word of God. We know, for example, it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Now, that's good news for you if you are praying for somebody who is not a believer, because you already know that it is the will of God for them to become a believer. So when we pray and we confess the written word of God and the truth of God and the will of God, then the scripture that I just read for you says, we know that he hears us. Now you might sit there and say, well, okay, he hears us. I need some action. Look at the next verse, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, and again, that's in the will of God, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So let's boil this down. If we ask according to the will of God, we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit, the confidence of the Holy Spirit, that what we are asking is being heard by God and it's going to be delivered on by God. We're going to get what we ask for. There are some people that I've been praying for to become born again for many, many years. And during those years, some of these people have taken some real dips, if you know what I mean. But I have the confidence, the daily confidence, God is lifting my spirit up, that when I die, I'm going to see those people in heaven. Now, let's go over to 3 John. One more scripture here for the moment. The second verse, and it says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Okay, let's tie these together. He says, I wish that you would prosper. Now, we've got to understand what prosperity is, and I know that there's a lot of stuff going on out there that talks about prosperity being a big bank account and a Cadillac in the driveway and all that sort of thing. Those things are things. This word and what I'm talking about is the prosperity of heaven, the peace of mind, the contentment, the belief, the reward of trust, that when we trust in God, God's going to do something about it. No matter what it begins to look like, God's going to do something about it. And he says this, that he wants us, it's his will for us to prosper and be in good health. That word health means nothing missing, nothing lacking. So the will of God is for us to be abounding in prosperity, abounding in peace, abounding in joy, abounding in the good things of God, and also in good health. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. And he says, now listen, this is important, even as your soul prospers. Okay, man is a trichotomy, body, soul, spirit. We've often said that the soul is the thing that when the body dies, the soul goes to heaven. We heard that there were so many souls on a ship. We have the wrong understanding about the soul. The spirit is what goes to heaven when we die. The soul is the mind. The mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions, they're all contained in the mind. What he is saying is this. Follow along and listen to this. He wants us to prosper as our thinking becomes focused on him. Focused on him. And when we are focused on him, when our mind is working in alignment with the mind of Christ, we will prosper, we will be in good health. You say, I'm a little bit confused. Well, let me tear into this now full steam ahead, and you'll understand as we move along. I want to start off, though, with a story of years ago when I was in the military, and that was years ago. I was in basic training, and we had been out on the drill pad, which is where they teach you how to march and all that sort of thing. And we came in, they marched us to the dining facility. They called it the mess hall. And after eating there a few times, I realized why they called it the mess hall. And we were standing in line waiting to take our trays up and have them put the food on. And there were drill sergeants all over the mess hall. They're standing there with their little smoky bear hats on like they wear, and they were looking down. They always had a mean look on their face. And we were standing in line, and the guy ahead of me went into one of these trances, we've all done it, where he just started staring, and I'm sure he wasn't thinking about what he was staring at, but he was focused on one of these drill sergeants. The drill sergeant's name was Sergeant Esparza. So I'm standing there watching this, predicting that this is not going to turn out good for this guy, but I'm keeping my mouth shut. And the longer he stared, I kept looking out of the corner of my eye at Sergeant Esparza, and he's noticing this guy staring at him, and he's darting his eyes around, and all of a sudden it happened. Sergeant Esparza came running over, and he looked this guy, got within inches, you know, you've seen it on TV, got within inches of the guy's nose, and he yelled, "What are you looking at?" And that did not turn out good for this guy ahead of me. And we won't go into that. But I want to ask you the same question today. What are you looking at? What are you focused on? We've got a lot of stuff going on in our world right now. Pandemics, economic situations, people can't pay their bills, all kinds of stuff. It would be easy to look on those things. But God says, don't look on those things. Focus on me. Now, when we talk about focusing on something or looking at something, we have to understand something, that whatever we look at, we will begin to think about and reinforce those thoughts in our mind. As we reinforce those thoughts soon become the words that we speak. And the words that we speak will become the actions or the manifestations of what we speak. Can I say that to you again? Whatever you dwell on, whatever you focus on, is what will be reinforced in your mind. And what's reinforced in your mind will soon come out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth will bring a manifestation of what's in your heart. You say, can you prove that? Yes, I can. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job was a very wealthy man. He began fearing. He began contemplating. He began speaking. And suddenly, when the disaster came, he said, that I have feared has finally come upon me. It works bad and it works good. I want to take a minute to tell you another story. Back in 1998, we were pastoring a church. My wife and I were pastoring a church in Minneapolis. It was an inner city church. Didn't have a lot of money, but it had a great big God. We had a little car. Maybe some of you will remember these. It was called a Geo Storm. It looked like a little Corvette. It was a poor boy's Corvette. I loved driving that car. It's like driving a go-kart. And our oldest daughter, Amy, had graduated from Marine Basic Training Camp in Parris Island, South Carolina. You say, why did she join the Marines? I have no idea. Well, I do. She wanted to become a lawyer, and they told her that they'd put her through law school, so she joined and went for it. We had to go to South Carolina to pick her up, and we did not have a car that she could fit in, nor did we have enough money to go buy another car. And so we began searching the Word of God, and we discovered this, that it says that my God, Philippians 4:19, will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. We took God at His word, and we began believing that. We stayed focused on that. We began confessing that, and we were expecting the manifestation. We also read and believed and agreed on the idea that we would give, and it would be given back to us out of men's prosperity, they would give to us. We believed that. We spoke it. The time was getting closer and closer to the time when we had to go to Parris Island, South Carolina to pick her up, and we had not a car to do it. And furthermore, did not have the money to rent a car to go pick her up. So, we're out on visitation one day, my wife and myself, in our little Geo Storm. And I took her back to the house, took Becky back to the house. We going to drop her off and then go to our back to our church office to finish up the day. And as she got out of the car, I put my hand on the gear shift, pushed it up into first to take off, and she put her hand on the back of my hand, and she said, "Let's agree together one more time. Let's speak it out one more time." So we did. We said, "God, you said you'd meet our needs. We're going to trust you. We're counting on you to meet our need, and we're believing you're going to do it. And we agree together you're going to provide a car that you will that will be big enough to get us there, get her back, and everybody will be happy." Becky got out of the car, shut the door, and the minute that that door slammed, I heard a voice that is the voice of the Spirit. Some of you are not going to believe this, but I'm telling you the truth. The voice of the Spirit said to me, "What kind of car do you want?" I was taken back. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've always wanted a Lincoln Town Car. And so as quickly as that voice said, "What kind of car do you want?" I said, "A Lincoln Town Car." You say, "You're greedy." I'll tell you the truth. I think God put that desire in my heart. I think God put that desire in my heart. Now, had it been something else, I would have been happy with whatever it was. But that's what I had at that time. So, a few days later, I'm sitting in my church office, and Becky buzzes me. She's sitting in the adjoining office. She buzzes me, and she says, "There's some guy here to see you." I said, "Okay, send him in." He comes in, stands in the doorway, pulls some keys out of his pocket, and throws them across the room. They land on my desk and slide up in front of me, and I look down, and I see it's a Ford key ring, or a Ford key on a key ring. The guy literally threw the keys, turned and walked out. I walked out after him. When I got outside, we were standing on the church steps, and there he stood, and he pointed down to the street. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? There said a Lincoln Town Car. Now, as I said, it would have been fine with me if it would have been a Chevy or an Edsel. I didn't care. I just needed a bigger car. But the point is that when we began to meditate on it, when we began to focus on it, God gave us the desires of our heart, and He even put the desire in. Now, this whole idea of focusing and speaking and believing requires an ongoing faith. Now, let's look at something else here. Matthew chapter 6, an ongoing faith and what? A focus. What are you looking at? Not the drill sergeant. What are you looking at? Our response to God. What am I looking at? Look at this. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 22. These are the words of Jesus. He says this, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Now, what does that mean? If your eye be single, does that mean we get rid of these eyes? No. It means if you have a singular focus. And of course, what he's saying here is if your focus is singularly placed on God, your whole body, your whole life, everything about you is going to be full of life. Now, having a focus on God is not something that we do once a week or twice a week. Having a focus on God is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of being with other believers. It's a lifestyle of studying and knowing God's Word. It's a lifestyle of thinking right, of speaking right, of doing right. And so he goes on to say, verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." The word evil there means split. If you're focused on God one moment and focused on the pandemic, the finances, the bad marriage, the wayward children, if your focus continues to switch, he goes on to say that your life is going to be full of darkness. And I'm sure that as I'm saying that right now, many of you are sitting there saying, "You got it. That is my life. I'm focused on Sunday morning. I'm focused when I'm in need. But the rest of the time, I'm looking at everything else around me, and as a result, my life is filled with darkness. Jesus said, focus on Him. Now listen, be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware of what we have to do regarding this pandemic. Be aware of what you need to do to make sure your marriage is what it needs to be. But don't stay focused on those things. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Listen to this, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is commonly referred to as riches, prosperity, money, that kind of stuff. But it's also the flesh. He's saying you can't serve God and the flesh. You can't be focused on God and the flesh. God will not share you. God demands, God insists that we stay focused on Him. And if we do, the blessings are unending. Now, why would it be that people would spend so much time looking in darkness when they know that if they're focused on God, things will come about? And I'm going to tell you this, that I believe that the reason that people stay focused on what's going around them is because they have fallen to the greatest tool, I believe, that the enemy uses, and that is fear. 2 weeks ago when I made this presentation, I spoke about fear and faith for a short moment. I want to take another short moment and add those two together and hopefully come up with an answer for you. Faith and fear work exactly the same way. Fear is a response to a situation. Fear is not only a response to a situation, but it requires a decision. When an instance comes, when we first heard about the pandemic, people made a decision, whether they know it or not. They made a decision, okay, we got to be careful. I'm gripped with fear. You did not have to decide that. We needed to be aware of the pandemic, but we needed to stay focused on God. I talked to people that right after they announced the pandemic, they woke up one morning, had a scratchy throat, and they were sure they had the virus. Why? Because they were focused on fear. Fear requires a decision. Fear requires ongoing faith in that fear, and fear, listen, will eventually connect you to the result of death. Faith works the same way. We make a decision, and faith begins. We make a decision to continue in faith, regardless of what's going on around us. And ultimately, faith will connect you to the blessings of God. You will go through battles. You will go through hard times. You will go through the testing of your faith and the torment of the evil one, but God will help you prevail if you continue and stay focused on Him. Now, one more verse of Scripture, Acts chapter 9. I hope you will turn to that with me, Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to speed this up because I'm sure I'm getting short on time. This story is about, and I want you to listen closely, and I'm going to paint a picture for you. This story is about a woman named Tabitha, also called Dorcas. And apparently Dorcas was a very revered woman in the town that she lived in Joppa. Joppa right now is just south of Tel Aviv, right on the coastline there. Beautiful little town. And this woman made coats and scarves and all kinds of things. And as I said, she was very well respected for her faith in that community. She got sick and died. And the disciples or the people that followed Dorcas or Tabitha heard that Peter was in a town close by. And so they sent two men to go get Peter, hoping he'd come back and do something about this. So he comes back. Now listen closely. And it says here in Acts chapter 9, verse number 39. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. Now, I'm going to personalize this for us. Those of us that live in Goshen, we know about Yoder Kolp Funeral Home. So they've got Dorcas laying in this parlor in Yoder Kolp Funeral Home. And all these people, we're going to go ahead and read here, all these widows and the mourners, they're screaming and they're yelling and they're in horrible grief. They've got all the stuff that Dorcas made and they're just so sad and they're pouring out their grief. They're focused on the wrong thing. And it says this, "And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them." Listen and begin forming this picture in your mind. "But Peter put them all forth." He went into Yoder Kolp. That parlor was filled with the mourning. He said, "Everybody out." And they all left. Now, follow closely and listen. "And turning him to the body," "and Peter then put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed." So he gets everybody out of the room. He kneels down and prays. And then it says, listen, "and turning him to the body." He puts them all out because he doesn't want to listen to their negativity, doesn't want to listen to their moaning. They're not focused on what he's focused on. And he realizes if there's going to be a result here, he's going to have to focus on the things of God. I want you to understand something. That any time belief is present, if true belief is present, there will be absolutely demonstration that will follow. We're going to see that in just a minute. When you believe for something, there will be a demonstration if you faint not. Peter puts them out, he kneels down, he prays, and then notice it says, when he gets done praying, he turns back and looks at the body. Listen and learn from this. Peter couldn't even look at the dead situation. And you can't either. We can't afford to have our faith damaged by staring at things that are dead. I love the story of Nehemiah rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And it says that he gets up on the ladder. He's got a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And then the do-gooders come by and try to discourage him. And I'm going to paraphrase. He said, "Get lost. I'm working on something here. I can't listen to your negativity. I can't be focused on what you're trying to get me to focus on." And I'm saying the same thing to you. We have to be focused on the things of God. We cannot afford ourselves to allow ourselves to get caught up in the works of the enemy that are there to do nothing more than to destroy our faith. Again, I'm not suggesting we stick our heads in the sand and hope it all goes away, but that we fight it in the spirit world. We fight it by faith. We overcome by the power of God's word. Now, you say, okay, you're telling me to focus on God and all this stuff. How do I do that? I can't see God. You got time for one more military story? Just comes to mind. When I was out of basic training, they sent me to a parachute school, jump school, in Homestead, Florida. And so I went down there. I'm not particularly fond then or now of jumping out of an airplane, but that's what I was told to do, so I went and did it. And one of the things that one of the instructors said was, when you jump out, when you go out, listen, keep your eye on the horizon where the sky meets the land. When you go out, the chute opens, keep your eye on the horizon as you're descending. And somebody asked why, and his answer was this, because if you don't, you'll do something stupid and kill yourself. Now, we found out later what he meant was, if you start looking down and you realize that there's nothing between you and the ground, you might have a tendency to panic and do something that you would regret. That's why they tell you, keep your eyes on the horizon. What would you do with a parachute at 1,000 feet that would make you regret it? There's two releases right here on the parachute harness called Koch releases. They're meant so that when you hit the ground and the canopy falls over, you can separate yourself from it so you don't get drug across the face of the earth. there had been people in that jump school that did not keep their eye on the horizon. And as a result, they released from their safety, the safety of their canopy, at 500 feet, 1,000 feet, and fell to their death. I'm saying the same thing to you today. Keep your eye on the Word of God. Keep your eye, keep your spirit focused on what God says in His Word. You won't do something stupid and die if you stay focused. So again, we say, well, how do I look at God? How do I focus on God when I can't see Him? Right here. We focus on God. We see God through His Word. And again, I can't stress the importance of what I said at the beginning of the service today about learning the Word of God, knowing how to use the tools that God has made available for us so that we can understand the language, the culture, everything about it. God will help you do that. And my wife and myself, we're here to help you do that as well. You know the Word of God, so therefore you see God through His Word. And when you see God through His Word, you will begin to speak out the Word of God. This is not something new. Down through the years, there have been people by the thousands that have heard the Word of God, Abraham, Moses, Ezekiel, Daniel. They heard the Word of God and they went and spoke it. God spoke to prophets, wrote it down. This is our hearing the Word of God. We understand it, we speak it, we believe it, we stay focused on God through His Word, and God brings manifestation. Remember, belief never stands alone. True belief will always be followed by manifestation. So, having said all those things, one last scripture that I'm just going to refer to. Jesus walking on the water, sees Peter in the boat, says, "Come to me." Peter steps out of the boat. You know the story. And as he steps out of the boat, he begins to walk. As long as he keeps his eyes, as long as he keeps his focus on the Lord, he's fine. The minute he looks at the waves, he begins to sink. All I'm saying today is the same thing to you. Stay focused on the Word of God. Stay focused on God, and you'll be just fine. We're going to have a time of prayer now, and I never like to say goodbye to anybody, especially an audience of people, without doing a couple things, praying for needs that might exist, as well as praying for somebody to invite Jesus into their hearts. Because listen, in spite of everything that's been said today, none of that will work until you know who Christ is, until you submitted to Him. And that is the most important thing. You are going to spend an eternity in heaven or hell. And your decision for or against Christ will determine where you spend that eternity. So there's a verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. It says this, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I want to pray with you about that right now. Then we're going to pray over some needs that we have here, and we're going to trust God to do miracles. Father, we come to You right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray over each person that is listening today. We pray, first of all, the peace and the safety of Psalm 91. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus that disease and plague shall not come near any person or any household that has watched this video today. We declare, Father, that because we have set our hearts on You, You will deliver us. And we take authority right now over the coronavirus, over every spirit that is trying to destroy and devastate, and we send those spirits back to the lake of fire, to the sides of the pit, demanding that they stay chained there until Jesus comes back to judge them. And right now, God, for those that don't know You or maybe have known You at one point and gone back on their commitment, we confess our sins to You. We can't name every one of them. There's too many of them. But God, we tell you we're sinners. And we ask you to come into our lives. Fill us with your grace. Fill us with your mercy. And record our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I pray for each person that has prayed this prayer today, that you would confirm in their hearts that they are the children of God. God, that you would convince them that as they have confessed the fact to you that they are a sinner, you have taken away their sin, just like your word says. And Father, we want to pray over some needs now. Richard McNeil, we pray for him, God, as he recovers from this surgery. We pray, God, healing in his body, healing in his mind, strengthen his spirit. Father, we pray this over Sharon Lambden. God, the needs that she has, we lift her up to you right now. We say, let the will of God, the perfect will of God, be done in her life. And finally, Father, over Reuben Falcon, we pray, God, over the loss of Leanne. We pray, God, that you would comfort him, that you would comfort the family. And God, convince them by wrapping your arms of love around them. Father, we pray over the people of this city, the people of this church. And we say, God, meet every need according to your riches and glory. And for all these things, we thank you because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's it for today. We do want to let you know you can stay connected with us through Facebook, through our webpage. On our webpage, you'll also find a video at the bottom pertaining to the kids. I call it a kids clip. And Sandy Houston has put that together. We thank her for that. And it's something that your children will watch and enjoy and be nourished in the things of God. So be sure to check those things out. I believe I've covered everything. We're hoping to see you soon. Once all this stuff gets cleared up, we can get together again. And what a wonderful time that'll be. So until then, God bless you, stay safe, and continue to believe the Word of God.